Hi, this is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board to be held for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the affiliate director position. This is Dave Adelson speaking. Teresa Allen is the secretary of the board. Teresa, could you call the roll, please?
Okay. Steve Pierce?
Present.
Ambrose Lane?
Here.
A.C. Bird? Rob Robinson? Serena Shakir? Sarv Randhawa?
Here.
Rosalinda Palacios? Mary Berg?
Here.
LaVarne Williams? Patty Heffley?
Here.
Thank you. Ray LaForest?
Yep.
Bob Lederer?
Here.
Lisa Davis? Dave Adelson?
Here.
Alan Minsky? Don White?
Here.
Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Sandy Weinman? Ken Freeland? Deb Shafto. Okay. We have 11 people on the call.
Okay, and since Marty Dillon has resigned, 11 is a majority of 21 and quorum. The proposed agenda for the meeting involved three 20-minute interviews, one each for each of the candidates, followed by a 20-minute period to clarify the voting procedure. Is there a motion to accept that agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Is there any objection to adopting the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then that'll be our agenda for the evening. Teresa, can you, or actually Mary, could you act as timekeeper for us?
Sure.
Okay, the first candidate is, we'll be spending 20 minutes with each candidate, and the proposed form is that we ask each candidate to speak and introduce themselves for 3 or 4 minutes, including letting us know why they're interested in the position. And then we'll ask questions for about another 10 minutes. That should be time for 4 or possibly 5 questions if people are brief. And then at that point, if you let me know, Mary, about 5 minutes before the end of each 20-minute segment, then we'll ask if the candidates have any questions of us or any concluding remarks. The first candidate is Mr. Yvonne Dooley from WRFG in Atlanta. Welcome, Mr. Dooley, and thank you very much for being here.
All right.
So why don't you fire away and say whatever you'd like to introduce yourself for the first few minutes.
Well, just as a general introduction, I've been at WRFG since its inception. I was one of the founding members of the station, and from the beginning, we had, in the very beginning, difficulty defining what we meant by community radio. And I guess that this might be something that many of the affiliates have gone through, is defining what our mission is, defining our relationship to the community, and our relationship to other stations. I've served in... Are we coming through clear?
Yeah, people are popping off by muting themselves.
Okay, I have served in a lot of positions at WRFG. I've been board president, I've been station manager. Currently, I'm the broadcast director. That corresponds to what most people call the program director. And I've been in this capacity for about 5 or 6 years. I teach the broadcast class, and in the process of doing all that, I am heavily involved in the recruitment of new volunteers to the station and the training and assignment of new volunteers. I'm also concerned, as far as my interest in being on the national board, I'm concerned with the relationship between states in the South and stations in the South and the Pacifica National Board. I would like to see a much closer relationship between the affiliates who come from this region and the Pacifica National Board, because I think in the first instance, we have a lot that we can gain by being a Pacifica affiliate represented on the board. And I think that Pacifica Foundation can gain quite a bit from a good, close working relationship with the stations who are located in the South. I was talking earlier this evening about having the meeting of the National Social Forum here in this region. I think that that's going to be a very important event, and I think the coverage of that, WIFG is going to be the media host for this event. It's going to be very important in terms of sharing with the rest of the country the perspective that comes out of this region. And so that's the kind of thing that I would like to work on, is trying to get more of the affiliates in the region actively involved, trying to establish a close working relationship between the stations in this region and Pacifica, and trying to establish a relationship between the affiliates in the area and the affiliates on a national level. That's something that I also mentioned in my little letter of introduction that I sent in, to take better advantage of the Pacifica archives. That's something that we have committed ourselves to do at WRFG, and I'd like to work on having that be a mainstay of the relationship that we established with a lot of the station, is just getting more involved in the history of Pacifica and the use of that program history. And that's about 4 minutes, I think.
Okay,
so any questions you have of me, great.
Okay, thank you very much. Who would like to ask? I think I heard somebody come on. Who was that?
Yes, LaVarne Williams.
Hi, LaVarne. We're in the midst of interviewing Yvonne Dooley of WRFG. He just concluded his introductory remarks. Who would like to ask a question?
I would like to ask a question.
Great.
Don, I know that you hosted one of those FCC town hall meetings. Can you tell me what that experience was like and how an experience with something like that would impact your decisions on the National Board of Pacifica?
That was a tremendous decision, experience. The decision to get involved in that was something that we discussed a bit before we actually did it. The fact that we were able to have an impact went beyond our expectations. We were able to set up computers at the site, and as a result have the participants send in opinions and suggestions directly to the FCC. And as a result of what happened that evening, we formed a coalition of progressive news outlets here in Atlanta that still functions. And we were able to draw closer together as a result of that, and also to realize the impact that we could have on national issues and national organizations. As I said before, what we started that evening continues to function. We have a meeting, as a matter of fact, on the 15th of March of the local progressive news outlets here in Atlanta. So that legacy still lives here. I think that the awareness of the impact that we could have beyond our little traditional circle broaden our horizons a great deal, strengthen our resolve to continue in the path that we had chosen as independent media and progressive media in particular. And that's had a great impact on me personally. I think it has allowed me to realize the kind of impact that we can have on a national level, including the level of being a participant in Pacifica. Because Pacifica was a very important participant in that also, in terms of broadcasting the proceedings and making suggestions about the proceedings itself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to ask questions?
Ray.
Ray, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Dooley, thank you for your presentation. I'm actually have a dual question. You can answer them any way you want. How do you see, what role do you see for labor in alliance with networks such as Pacifica? And how do you see connecting to the South? Can you elaborate a bit on your notion that it is important to bring Pacifica to the South?
Well, we have labor programs that are sponsored by unions, and you know the South is not one of the areas that union activity is at the top of the list. And we had a program this afternoon, for instance, called Labor Forum, and it's co-sponsored by the Atlanta Labor Council and North Georgia Labor Council. And as a result of having that program on, we have a continuous kind of feedback from organized labor, and we are able to put forth views and positions that normally don't get a lot of airplay here in Atlanta and the surrounding area, because there's a hotbed of labor opposition. But at the same time, we are able to keep labor issues before the public. We have guests from other regions. We have official union representatives on air on a regular basis. When I say in terms of the South, the importance that it has, there are particular things in this region, such as the vehement opposition to organized labor, that need to be understood by other areas of the country, need to be understood by people who do programming about the South, because there are some particular things that we think that if better understood and widely known would explain some of the issues that are peculiar to our region. And for that reason, labor being one of them, the issue of organized labor, I think that it's important that we have things from that particular perspective, just to share that. The problems that we have in getting people to understand the issue of immigrant labor and its impact in the South is something that I would like to further pursue. We have a lot of that in the rural areas of Georgia, and Georgia is largely an agricultural state, with the exception of Atlanta. And it's that kind of thing that I would like for us to delve into more. Excuse me, I'm an asthmatic, and I'm getting a little wheezy, but you'll have to bear with me.
Okay, well, that's fine. Take your time. Catching his wind. Who else would like to be on the stack to ask questions? Bob, anyone else?
Zarina's on the phone also.
Hi, Zarina. So, Mrs. Julie, you let us know when you're ready to go again.
I'm all right. I was just explaining, if you hear a little wheezing over the phone, that's why. No, it wasn't
that
I needed.
Okay, great. So, Bob, go ahead, and then Zarina.
Hi, Bob Letterer from WBA. Thanks, Mr. Dooley, for coming on. So I just wanted to ask you about the question of inclusion of members of diverse communities, which is a mandate in our bylaws. And if you would tell us about the community or communities that you self-identify with, and also your, to the extent you may know it, the sort of demographics of your staff and listenership. And then the second related question is kind of your vision or views on how Pacifica can maximize the inclusion of, you know, the most diverse communities.
When we first opened WRFG, Atlanta was fairly typical in terms of the demographic, that is, Southern white, Southern black. We announced to the world that we were the next great international city long before that was even possible. And somehow Atlanta has the ability to grow into its own bragging, you know. And we did develop into that.
Well said.
And we have a very diverse population here in the city. Our programming reflects that. We have music literally from all over the world. We recently being last year, received a mandate from our board of directors to increase the amount of public affairs and news that we carry in order to reflect more accurately the demographics of the city. So we have Spanish language programs. Our program committee recently voted to insert French language programs. We're going to start a program from Haiti in the next couple of months. We have music, as I said, from all over, African continent, the Caribbean, Europe, Celtic music, all of that. And, of course, we put an emphasis on a culture that's indigenous to the region. So we have lots of blues, lots of bluegrass. We are preparing for our 30th annual bluegrass festival that will be held April the 1st at the State Farmers Market. We have managed to really broaden the amount of support that we get from all these different communities, some of whom you would expect on the surface to not be in agreement as politically as well as the emphasis that it places on different cultural things. So I'm very proud of what we've managed to accomplish at WRFG. I see that somewhat representative of the kind of diversity that you find in the Pacifica programming. I would like to see some more of that happen, especially talking about programming that perhaps we could participate in to show the developing impact of the various new segments of the population in the South, because what's happening in Atlanta is transpiring all over the region. And, of course, on a national level, we're being forced to recognize the importance of dealing with the various ethnic communities in the country. So I think that my experience in Atlanta and my growth as an individual dealing with these diverse groups served me well as a member of the board of Pacifica.
All right, Dave, one quick follow-up, just the part I asked you about what community do you self-identify yourself?
I'm in a part of the African-American community here, being an African-American, but I work closely with several of the communities here in Atlanta. The Hispanic community is growing rapidly, and I had a meeting two nights ago with the Latin American and Caribbean Community Association, and we were discussing a new program. We're going to have 2 hours of news on both the Caribbean and South America starting on the end of this month, March, on Saturdays. Of course, we have a large African community, Caribbean, and I work very closely not only with individuals but with organizations in those communities. But my primary concern and allegiance through birth and experiences with the African American community.
Okay, Serena.
Pardon me. I think someone may have come on to the phone, and our next candidate may be on the phone.
That's me. I just joined in. Sorry if I'm early.
Okay. There's no problem with people being on the call. It's a publicly streamed meeting, so welcome. And we're just finishing, or we have one or two more questions with a candidate before you, Mr. Dooley, and then we'll come to you. Is that Nathan?
Nathan Moore.
Nice to meet you, Zarina.
Okay, I came on around about 8:10, so I'm not quite sure what other questions have been asked. I did hear Bob's question and the one from Ray. Mr. Dooley, I'm glad to be able to speak with you. I'm very familiar with WRFG because I lived in Atlanta for about 9 years.
Oh, great.
And that was one of my stations that I listened to.
Okay.
The question that Bob had asked is pretty much what I was going to ask, and also your response. But let me just take it maybe a step further.
Okay.
How would you, as one of the affiliates, be able to help our network, our five stations, in terms of some of the work that it sounds like you all are doing that all of our stations are not necessarily doing, particularly in terms of some of the diversity and the outreach and bringing in many cultures? What would be some of your suggestions to our network?
Well, I think that there has to be a conscious effort put into actively recruiting stations into the Pacifica network. When I first started at WRG, our whole concept was primarily of community-based radio. I now know that there are stations, such as college stations and other stations, who are affiliates or who may become affiliates. I think that there needs to be a conscious effort put into doing that and to point out that...
5 minutes left. I'm sorry to interrupt
okay.
you, but...
And thanks for that tip. And I'm also aware that in terms of sharing programming, we need to really put an effort into doing that to demonstrate the viability of programming that reflects the diversity in any particular area.
I think we should go to any questions you might have of us, Mr. Dooley. Before we do that, I want to ask one quick thing, which is a lot of the board work is time-consuming and somewhat laborious. All the great projects that you talked about aren't necessarily things that we can do through the board work, and I just wanted to be sure that you were familiar with the amount of time. I don't know if Teresa told you the amount of time commitment involved, and you mentioned you have a lot of experience in a meeting culture, so I assume you have experience of how projects can move slowly and through that process.
Well, when I first entertained the notion of applying or representing WRFG in the Pacifica board situation, we held a staff meeting, and when we went over the pros and cons of my involvement. Particular concern to myself was a time constraint. But we concluded that everything being equal, the contribution that I could possibly make and the experience that I could gain from doing this far outweighed any negative impact that this might have on the situation of myself at WRFG. So I wholeheartedly have jumped into this, and I expect to, you know, be able to devote a great deal of time to it.
Is there anything we can answer for you in the last couple of minutes, or would you like to say anything in conclusion?
Well, there is one thing. In the literature that I've read, we talk about the work with the affiliates, and it says, and other board work. And I don't have a clear grasp of the extent of that or the amount of time that I might have to devote to that. And so if somebody wanted to just give me a very brief response to that, I'd appreciate it.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Yvonne, you may have noticed in the bylaws, and I know you've read the bylaws, and I know you found them thrilling. There's a number of committees. There is a governance committee, an audit, programming, technology,
mm-hmm.
elections, archives, affiliates,
mm-hmm.
And a coordinating committee, which is already, I mean, you wouldn't be on the coordinating committee or the finance committee. Actually, you could be on the finance committee if you so chose. Anyway, you would pick one or two or three committees that you wanted to concentrate your efforts on.
Okay.
And actually, you're not formally required to serve on any. You have more freedom than most of us. Members of each signal area have to be on, at least one member from each signal area has to be on every committee, or as we've interpreted, one member from each signal area. But you would be somewhat freer. We have monthly, national board meetings by teleconference and quarterly meetings in person. Those meetings last 3 days. The teleconferences can last up to 4 hours, and sometimes we go over that.
I'm used to that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very, very much. And Mary, do we have any time left? Or
there are 2.5 minutes left.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. I do not understand, Mr. Chair, because I was told that he started at 8 Eastern and the next candidate started at 8:20.
At 8:07 Eastern.
Yeah, we had a few minutes of housekeeping. Took us a couple minutes to achieve quorum and then a couple of minutes to call the roll and approve the agenda.
Okay.
So we just want to be sure that everybody has 20 minutes, and I think that may have occupied your remaining 2 minutes.
It was my pleasure to talk to you.
If he wants to say something quick, he's got another almost 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, is there anything else we can answer for you, or anything else you'd like to say?
Not necessarily in the restricted time. It's just to say that I enjoyed the conversation. I look forward to being able to serve with Pacifica in whatever capacity you all choose.
Thanks very much for being on. I speak for all of us in saying we enjoyed having you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Okay. Oh, and Mr. Dooley, I think he went. Nathan, I'll tell you, we'll be making we'll be voting within the next week, and so should have, I think, a response within about 8 days of this meeting. So the next candidate is Nathan Moore of WRT-FM in Madison, Wisconsin. And Nathan, what we're doing is we're asking you to speak for 3 or 4 minutes to introduce yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll ask 3 or 4 questions in the next 10 minutes or so, and then about 5 to 6 minutes at the end for you to ask questions of us or make any concluding statements you like.
Okay.
So the floor is yours, and why you chose to serve, and anything else about us. About yourself you'd like to share with us.
Sure. Well, I think you all saw my statement of interest. I hope that came around by email.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to really help out with the Affiliates Alliance and kind of figure out exactly what that role is going to be within Pacifica. That's probably the biggest thing that draws me to the Pacifica National Board. Also, just that it's, we get a lot of terrific content from Pacifica, and it's been around forever, and I want to work my butt off and make it as good as it can be. We are in our 11th day of pledge drive right now at WRT, so I'm a little on the tired side, but I'm all right. So anyway, I grew up in West Virginia, and I've been doing some independent media projects since I was 10 years old when we made a little neighborhood newspaper one sheet thing, you know. I was a DJ at my college radio station in West Virginia and news director for 2 years. I actually trained as an anthropologist rather than in a communications or media background. With a strong interest in Latin America, and I've traveled through through Central America, South America a few times, and also a real strong interest in Appalachia, which is closer to home, needless to say. And anyway, I've tried to stay involved with social and economic justice movements with both regions from my home in the Midwest now. Worked as a volunteer at WORT for about a year, and then got the job as news facilitator. That's called news director everywhere else, and I've been doing this job for about 2 years. WORT is a real cooperative kind of atmosphere. Everything's a collective. We've got a staff collective instead of a general manager. We've got a programming committee instead of a program director. So that means that in a lot of ways I've learned a lot of the ins and outs of management from a very short amount of time. I oversee more than 100 volunteers in the news and public affairs department. And really handle a lot of the day-to-day operations that a program director would, in addition to all the news director stuff. Lots of experience dealing with conflicts, particularly among volunteers, and that's something I bring to the table. Lots of experience in cooperative environments, obviously, using a lot of non-hierarchical models, a lot of the activist groups that I've been involved with, as well as this station. I'm married for about 6 months now to a lovely woman named Lisa. We have three cats. I like to bike and that's just kind of some background about me and where I am and where I'm coming from on a personal level. I'm younger than probably the average age for somebody on the Pacifica National Board. I'm still in my 20s. I bring a lot of energy to it.
Yeah, I think we've talked a lot about the need for youth in our governance and in our institution. Who would like to ask a question?
I have a quick question. Two questions. Did you say you like the mic?
Pardon me?
What?
Did you say you like the mic?
The mic? Is that the...
No, I guess I just didn't understand what
bike.
You...
bike. He said I like to ride the bike.
Well, I like to bicycle, yeah.
Oh, bike. I thought you said the mic, as in microphone. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Bike.
I like microphones, too. I do enjoy using microphones. But
okay. The other question I had for you was, you say you deal with conflicts among volunteers.
Yes.
Tell me how that happens.
Sure. Somebody usurps producership control, whether intentionally or not. Somebody says something that either was intended to be bad or either was just an accidental offensive. Somebody, whatever. I mean, you know, all the things that can piss somebody off, you know. Basically it comes to figuring out how we're all going to get along as a community radio family. And we can't just, you know, we can't just leave. We can't just, we can't call that an out. We can't just get rid of each other. Yeah, I mean, you know how conflicts arise, then I think it's basically just a matter of facilitating an honest, direct discussion.
Thank you.
Who else?
Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. Moore. It's good to meet you.
Thanks, likewise.
Bob Lederer from WBAI. And I'm asking this question to all three candidates. Of course, our bylaws reflect a commitment to inclusion of members of diverse communities, so I'd like to ask you two things. If you could tell us what community or communities you self-identify with personally, and also what you, to the best of your knowledge, the demographics of the staff and the programmers and the listeners. And then the second part is what types of visions or ideas you'd have about what Pacifica can do as a network, both the five sister stations and the affiliates, to increase the diversity of the communities that it represents.
Sure. Let me just jot that one down so I don't forget it. Communities I self-identify with. I'm a male man. I'm white at the moment. I'm also pretty young. I do think it's important to be race cognizant even as a white person, though. I mean, obviously, I'm racialized as well. Demographics of staff. Madison, Wisconsin is not immensely ethnically diverse. That's not to say that it's all white people, but the sheer percentages of listenership and even just people out in the community are not super high when it comes to African Americans and Latinos. We also have Hmong here as a large ethnic minority.
Those are Laotians, right?
Yeah. Laotians and also Thai. But it's very much a separate ethnic group within those particular nationalities. Demographics of the staff here, of our six-person staff collective, we are all white, and it's split evenly with men and women. And one of our part-timers is a transgendered woman as well. I actually ran an analysis of our programmers one time, not too long ago, just in December. There was a Knight Ridder newspaper thing going around to see their basic goal as the Knight Ridder Foundation is to see that at least one person of color is employed in every newsroom, and obviously we've got that. But I was, I wanted to see if we were actually going beyond that sort of tokenism, and it turns out we actually are. Madison, I think, is about, is if memory serves, about 10% African American, maybe 8% Latino, and maybe 3 or 4% Hmong. And we do decently well with that. If you look at the overall station figures, we actually have about 20-25% African American volunteers, as well as I forget the percentages. We basically consistently doubled the actual ethnic makeup of our community in terms of the number of ethnic minorities involved in programs. Does that beep mean something?
That's everyone joining. Somebody joining the call.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Or muting or unmuting.
Very good. That said, we lost my train of thought for a sec. The diversity among our programming staff, all of our programmers that are volunteers, that our diversity is pretty good as a whole newsroom operation overall. It is, to some degree, less than ideal for a number of individual programs. So obviously something like En Nuestro Patio, which is our Spanish language news, is made up of mostly Latinos. Some other programs are made up of mostly white people. And so that's actually something that we do work to address. A show like In Our Backyard, that's just a local state news program, that is definitely overrepresented of white people. That's like a constant outreach thing that we try and address. I should just make a plug too. We do have programs in other languages, and I think that's a huge way to develop diversity and outreach. We've got three separate programs here that are in Spanish, which is probably actually maybe small compared to a lot that are of folks at the stations on this call right now. But for Madison, that's pretty good. Also, we have a program in Hmong that's 2 hours long every Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, rather. As a network, Pacifica addressing diversity issues, I think in addition to other language programming, just a conscious outreach effort makes a big difference. I mean, whether anecdotally or using actual statistics and such not, you can learn a lot about the ethnic makeup of your communities. You can and then just go out to the neighborhood centers, out to the places where people are, and try and bring them into the radio station in some fashion and some function that actually is very much actually involved and actually making decisions that are important in those communities. If that's a sort of a brief way to answer your question.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
Are we keeping
anyone else?
Are we on a stack?
Yeah, who's that?
Ken Freeland, like the end of stack, please.
Ken, yes, we're speaking to Nathan Moore of WORT. Go ahead, Ken.
Go ahead, Ken.
You are the staff.
Thank you. Nathan, what do you see as the role of the Pacifica Foundation in arranging for the production and distribution of, and as well as effectively broadcasting, world and national news programming from a critical perspective? And what role in this process would you see yourself playing as affiliate representative to the board?
Sure. I understand there's a lot going on with the national program policy, and I'm not crystal clear on what form that's taking at the moment. I think that it makes sense for there to be strong, critical, in-depth, I don't want to get off the litany of adjectives there, doing it all day on the air, But yeah, for there to be a strong critical national news programming, because there's that kind of resources at the national level, you can pool the resources, and to have that made available to the local stations is really great. That's one reason why WORT airs things like Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, as well as the BBC. There's just, you know, we don't have the money to send somebody from Madison over to Mumbai or to, you know, to Denmark or to Africa. It's just not in our budget. And so, stations pooling their resources to do that kind of programming is what the whole idea of a network is about, right? Was there another part to that question?
Just how do you see the affiliate directors being a part of that process?
You bet. I want to learn more about how affiliates, learn more and then also hopefully come up with more ideas about how affiliates can be very actively involved in national programming. As it is with WRT now, we've got, you know, occasionally folks from here will contribute to things like Free Speech Radio News, but in many ways, the affiliates so far, I think, have been receivers of programming as opposed to generators. Not that we can't increase that through things like AudioPort. I've used it some, but not a great deal, and we're just kind of trying to build that up and build a culture of sharing stuff more. If there are ways to structurally encourage more of that, I think that would be great to look into. And as I learn more in my time, hopefully, on the board, that'll be something that I think about.
I'd like to ask a question. You mentioned time on the board. One of the things that some of the affiliate directors have experienced is that the ratio of the amount of time that they spend to the amount of business they're able to move has not been as much. That ratio wasn't as high, or maybe I've got it backwards. The point is that it takes a lot of time, there are a lot of meetings involved, and the ability to move business forward really depends on your own commitment to that process. So I wanted to know your expectations and your time availability to put into this in this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can speak to my experience at WORT just to start things off. We are very rooted in having a democratic process here. I designed the little sort of visual representation, our little flow chart for the programming committee here. It takes a long time to get a show on the air here, you know, a year or more, if it's a really good proposal. You know? and then that relies on somebody, you know, getting hit by a bus for their show to open up. So I definitely am aware that things take a long time. I have had the opportunity to serve on the board at WRT as well, and I know full well that things take a long time. Same with the staff collective operations. I mean, in every instance at WRT, things take a while, and so I'm fully aware of that. At the same time, yeah, building consensus and really trying to get buy-in for different business items is part of my daily life.
Hello.
Hang on a second. I think we're having a little appearance. Were you done, Nathan?
Almost. I just wanted to say then one other thing. You know, as far as time commitment, you know, media is what I do both as my job and as a hobby, really. So it's something that I'm very committed to. Community media, alternative media, you know, radical media, all stuff that I'm very interested in. And so, not just interested in, but acting on and with very often. So, you know, I just to reiterate that I work my ass off for things I'm a part of.
Great. Thank you. LaVon, did you have a question?
Yes, but my phone is... Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask it and then mute the phone so we lose the buzz after you've asked?
What is the mute?
On this service, it's star 6.
I'm working with a mute that's on my phone, so I'm talking now and I cannot hear you. So hopefully,
well, that mute doesn't work.
Just with the next 30 seconds or so, you talked about the Spanish language programming and the Hmong program. Just quickly, you also talked about timing. Can you just tell us how that happened and how the board, perhaps, or what was the just how it happened, basically?
You're at WRT?
We have 5 minutes. We had a little less than, actually. I didn't want to interrupt Lamarne.
Okay,
so if you could just answer that and then any questions you might have for us.
Sure, you bet. Here at WORT, the Hmong radio actually came before Well, all right. We've had a Spanish language music show on WART for 25. I don't really know the history of how that one came to be exactly. As far as the Spanish language news program in Nuestro Patio, that one started as a little 5-minute segment of In Our Backyard, the local news, and then they proposed to make it a half hour, and so to be a full cast of the news in Spanish, which we went through, and this was all actually before I came here, and then the they're now a 60-minute program each week, and so that was another program proposal. They just sort of built up their collective and were bursting at the seams and decided to bring in national and international coverage as well, not just local stuff. So it's the patio there has become very large, and so they definitely have a very flourishing collective as far as collectives go. I've been we also have a late night a music show in Spanish called Rock en Español. It's not a very clever title, but they came to be because we had an open slot, and we said, the programming committee proactively in this case decided that we need to have more Spanish language programming, and so we interviewed a bunch of people and kind of ended up going with a collective model for that particular program, and it's been working out great. They have been on the air for about a year and a half now, and do really well on pledge drives for an overnight show, so it's great. I mean, there's support. Lots of calls. They get lots and lots of callers, and it's been great. Hmong Radio was kind of a similar thing. The station proactively said, there's a lot of Hmong folks here in Madison and around Madison, settled here from various refugee situations, and there's more coming in still to this area. So, we decided we needed a program. That was a one-hour program originally. Since I began here, it has expanded to 2 hours, so they have more time to share music and cultural stuff as well. It is in Hmong language, and so I that's a language I don't really speak any of. So I don't actually get to understand the show much, but fortunately the hosts are bilingual, and I can talk with them off air.
There's 2 minutes left.
So anything you might have to ask us or anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
Quick question.
We have several minutes.
Sure. Just a quick question about the Affiliates Task Force. Where do you all see the Affiliates program going? It's kind of a big question, I realize.
Just first of all, we've upgraded that to a full committee. Is Ursula on the line? I emailed her today inviting her to be here. Ursula, are you here? I guess not. Teresa, would you like to comment on it, or anybody else who's on that committee?
Actually, Dave, I don't think we voted to make it the task force full-fledged committee. We did that with the archive. We have an affiliate task force, and we have a affiliates coordinator who is very, very eager to actually have us give her some direction.
Sure.
And I think that this, what she is doing is the leading edge.
Yeah, I really like Ursula, too.
I think in general, though, it's cutting edge,
mm-hmm.
Because she is interacting with so many diverse media outlets, and they're asking her questions every day, and she really wants some direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for anybody that wants to pull up their sleeves and work through some things on committee, on the task force and subcommittees, I think it's just going to go off like a rocket.
Yeah.
I'd like to have Steve Pierce. Steve, are you still on the line?
Yes.
If you are, could you comment on Mr. Moore's question, please? The state of the affair to what you see within Pacifica and what you think needs to get done?
I can't comment on the Affiliate Task Force because I wasn't active on it during my tenure. I think the key thing is that I sense a difference of opinion about the importance of the affiliates to Pacifica and the role that they can play, and that difference exists on the board and on the national staff level as well, and I think that's something that should be addressed. But I agree with everything that's been said about Ursula. She's done a fantastic job, and I think the program has incredible potential.
Okay, and I'll just weigh in that one of the questions I think that we're going to be addressing this year with the new executive director is the organization of the national office itself. Questions like how the budgeting for affiliates works, and some other questions that may come out of other kinds of discussions we're having about how we see the network as more than just the stations. I think that the relationship to the affiliates in terms of program sharing and things like that is going to be something that will be before us as well, and I think that committee will be addressing those things. I don't know if that's clear or vague, but is there anybody else who has a response to that?
You care that it's overtime, that it's we're out of time?
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much for being on the call. As I said when we started, we'll be casting our votes with... They should be postmarked, I think, by a week from today, and it'll take a day or two to get the ballots counted, and we'll let you know as soon as we know.
Thanks.
We really appreciate your being here.
10-second wrap-up, if I could.
Please.
I'm also kind of the go-to person for the Grassroots Radio Conference this year, and you all should come to that, which is going to be July 28th to 30th here in Madison.
So, great.
Thanks much, and I'll look forward to rolling up my sleeves with you guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Is Mr. Robbins on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi. My name's Dave Adelson. You're the third of our three candidates that we're interviewing. We've 20 minutes to each, and the way we've done this is we've asked people to introduce themselves for 3 or 4 minutes, after which we'll ask questions for about 10 minutes, and then in the remaining time, you can ask us whatever you'd like to know or make any kind of summary statement you'd like. And as you may have just heard, the time frame for making a decision is balloting to be done within a week, a couple of days to count the responses, and then we'll be letting you know, and if elected, we'd be bringing out to Los Angeles for our March 24th to 26th board meeting. So the floor is yours for the next few minutes. Whatever you'd like to tell us about yourself and your interest in serving on the board, we'd like to hear it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dave. I did send some details about my recent experience in the letter, and just to go over a couple of those points, I've been the manager at KSVR since 1994. We've been an affiliate since 1997, but my involvement with radio goes back quite a bit. I got my third class FCC permit in 1970 when my high school first started a radio station. So I kind of had this interest for quite a while. I started work as a music programmer around 1976 at the college station that I was attending. And it was kind of related to the bicentennial celebrations of the time. I felt some need to get on our station that was had the opportunity there and do some work there to bring what I thought was politically motivated song material. I really didn't get into more political news and talk shows until quite a few years later when I became part of the management of that radio station. Went to my first NFCB meeting, I think it was 1979. After my tenure at that college station where I became the program director and then the manager there, I've continued to be involved, although I had taken a few years off. I was always a music volunteer all through those years. So that brings me up to the present, and what I'd really like to do, I guess, is my work since I've been a manager and been able to influence the decisions at our station. We're a small town, Mount Vernon. We're squeezed between Seattle and Vancouver, B.C., we're just about exactly midway. We're the last county to become kind of urbanized as the giant metropolis grows. So we've kind of been left out of a lot of the growth activities of those two big areas, and we're quite rural. We have a migrant worker population that comes in that can be as much as, it's estimated at 6 to 10% of the overall population in the summer. So I've been watching the gentrification, and I've been watching as our station's grown. When I took over, it was only a part-time station. It was only on for a few hours. The college was about to zero it out. They really didn't have a lot of hope. Within 2 years, I turned that around. We were broadcasting full-time, introducing a variety of programming. We have diverse voices on the air. What I do now is I teach a couple classes at the college. I am the full-time manager, and I'm involved with the program selection that we do, and also involved with trying to encourage local community organizations to be involved with the radio station. I see our mission as kind of a blend of what I see Pacifica Station's missions as being, and through the years, which has kind of changed a little, which was to give a voice to the voiceless, but also to offer a dialogue whereby a lot of information can be conveyed to the citizens of an area to help them make decisions about things in their lives. And so I feel really strongly that that's the asset that we bring to our community. And I have a lot of affinity for the Pacifica stations. Since we got involved as an affiliate, I've looked into the matters. You know, we got involved right before the Pacifica coup. And I can say that then I had talked with various people at the stations, and we did take a stand along with some of the other affiliates that were actually protesting some of those actions at that time. And I'm proud that our station has continued to be a Pacifica affiliate. And so I guess I'll wait for some more questions. I don't know if that's enough right there. Maybe it is. I'm happy to take some questions.
I'll just kind of like to ask questions.
Go ahead,
Ken. Let's see. What do you see as the role of the Pacifica Foundation in arranging for the production and distribution of, as well as itself effectively broadcasting world and national news programming from a critical perspective? And what role in this process would you see yourself playing as an affiliate representative to the board?
Well, as an affiliate representative, I would want to survey my peer group. I'm the representative for a large number of stations, if that was the case. So I would certainly want to survey and, you know, have some idea of what the general needs were for the affiliates in terms of their interaction with Pacifica and what they see as their purpose for being an affiliate with Pacifica. I think some of that needs to be addressed. I'm not sure what an affiliate is or what role they actually play within the union of stations that we've called the network. I think Pacifica is the primary catalyst for this kind of news and information. That's what our station relies on a lot. I would not exclusively Pacifica programming. We do a number of the other independent media shows as well. But I think Pacifica brings the clout and the resources to bear. I think five stations in five thriving large cities in this country alone give the Pacifica Foundation a very representative voice as to what Americans want to hear and the delivery mechanism for that. A lot of us, certainly as affiliates, we don't have the resources. But on the other hand, there are a number of affiliates that do bring tremendous resources to this, and I do think that there's a role for affiliates as a two-way street, so to speak, where affiliates can contribute to Pacifica as well as us being the recipients of the Pacifica endeavor. So I would hope the Pacifica Foundation would maintain that initiative and would address that need that Americans have.
And Dave, sir?
Don White.
Sarv, Don White,
Bob.
And then Bob. Sarv?
Mr.
Go ahead, Sarv.
Mr. Robbins, my name is Sarv Randhawa. I'm from KPFA radio station here in Berkeley. And welcome.
Hey.
What I want to ask you, as an affiliate representative on the board of directors, there are going to be a lot of issues that go way beyond affiliates that you're going to be voting on, or affiliate representative will be voting on. Is there some outstanding issues that stand out in your mind where Pacifica itself could improve?
Well, that's interesting. Not being at the meetings, I'm not sure of the personal perspectives that the board members have brought to some of the different discussions. I mean, I can tell you that when it comes to union negotiations at a certain station, I'm going to have to read and up on it and listen to what the directors have to say, because they're the ones who are closer to that issue. If it's the question of whether there should be five independent stations or one national organization, I would immediately say that there's strength in the national organization. How the stations can relate to that is always going to be a give-and-take process. I'm not sure there's ever going to be a day when everyone sits back and says, well, the work at the board level is done and everyone's happy. I just don't see that happening. There's always going to be some flux.
You know,
Always going to be change.
What I meant was, in a programming sense, that could fulfill the needs of this nation better than it's doing.
Well, I have talked to an affiliate that looks to Pacifica as a source for programming. It's kind of like this. He's saying, well, you know, I have time to fill, and I really need Pacifica to do that for me. And I think, well, okay. But at other stations, I've seen the situation where it's taken a long time simply to shoehorn in a free speech radio news program on a daily basis because their structure is so constrained that that it's difficult to have that happen. I think the future for the network to be strengthened with its association with affiliates is when affiliates will take more of the Pacifica programming so that there becomes more of a national voice. I think that from the five stations, we have a lot of diversity and a lot of diverse voices come forward with viewpoints that may be different. And in the term for programming for stations like mine, we really benefit, I think, from hearing the voices from people that have more access to what's really going on. Sometimes in my county, we can feel like we're a million miles away from the centers of where the action is happening. And I just think that we really need those voices. And in terms of what kind of programming, well, you know, a lot of people have taken Democracy Now. It's been a great success story. And I just think that that model for bringing a voice from one of the Pacifica stations, and this is being done. I'm not saying that CN's the only one. I mean, there are some other shows that are there, and that this is the way that the affiliates are going to help the network. We're going to use more of those programs, and I would work as an affiliate rep to get more affiliates to open up to the Pacifica programming and not just take the one or two shows that they see as the main output from Pacifica. I think there's a lot more that Pacifica offers. I really don't have one exact program.
That's fine.
So I hope I'm answering your question a little bit.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
Okay. This is Ursula. I just was told
hi, Ursula.
On call and let you know I'm on the call.
Okay.
Thanks, Ursula.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. I've lost track of who was next on the sack. I know that
I think
Teresa
was.
And Bob had wanted to speak.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else?
John.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, okay, thanks. Welcome, Mr. Robbins. Good to meet you. You may know that our bylaws includes a commitment to inclusion of members of diverse communities throughout Pacifica, and so I want to ask you two questions. One is about if you care to tell us the community or communities that you personally self-identify with, as well as what you know of the demographics of the staff, the programmers, and the listenership of your station. And then the second part is what visions or ideas you might have for how Pacifica as a network could expand the inclusion of communities, of diverse communities.
Well, community that I I can tell you that I don't identify with middle-class white males. And I really never have. I think I've been rebelling about that for a long time. A lot of my heroes are from the African American community, but that I can't make them. Who I really identify with would be the labor movement. I don't know if that's a community that I can identify with, but that's what I feel like. I've always been involved with labor. My folks thought that I was going to be the doctor and the attorney, and instead I went and got a blue collar job at a factory. It was a GM, it was a tire plant that built tires for GM cars, and I thought that was great because I was going to be the salt of the earth, and that's where I was going to stay. I found myself sitting there after a year with the same people and realized I had an impetus to do something else, and as I ended up here where I'm at. So I would have to say the labor movement. As far as the my staff, I could tell you that most of my staff are Latino. They might call themselves Chicano, but we have we're represented by more than the Mexican community. Probably 25 of the 40-some people on our staff are Latino. Over half of our day part is in Spanish or Spanish-English mix. Because I work at a college, we've had participation from Japanese students. We have an international program. We have about 250 students from various countries around the world that are at our college and that participate in some way. Some quarters I can get students involved, bringing their cultural programming onto our airwaves. Other quarters I can't get that. We have a Russian community in our town, and for about 2.5 years we've had involvement by students who are Ukrainian or would identify themselves as from that area, and we've had programming where they've gone on the internet and collected various news stories in Russian to broadcast to our local community. So let's see, the makeup of my listenership, probably 80% of our listeners are Spanish speakers. And that's because we're the only Spanish-speaking resource, the only media they have in our county. We were doing Spanish language programming before the local cable company offered the various satellite feeds for Spanish language programming. We've been an affiliate with Radio Bilingue since 1996. So I guess that's where I would end with that.
Great, thank you. Teresa?
Yes. Oh, thank you very much. I see that you take, counterspin, wings, between the lines and such. You say that you want to encourage other affiliates to take Pacifica programming. How many of our national programs do you take, like the one we had, was it yesterday? and when you do take those, and they have to preempt your regular programs, what's the reaction, and how do you deal with that kind of conflict, if there is conflict?
Well, there is some conflict with that. Early in our affiliation, we did more of these preemptive type of programs. I can say that in the past couple years, we have not, because either the lead time notice was not sufficient for me to deal with my staff. Our staff has a policy that they get a 7-day advance notice of a preemption of their program. In order to honor that, it's sometimes difficult for me to turn on a dime and do that. And I'm not saying that, we get this turn on a dime notice all the time. It's not that. But if it's a couple day notice, I may not have been aware that we were going to do those hearings early enough for me to get that time. So yes, there's a stumbling block with that. And while I am trying to say that I'm going to get other affiliates to carry this programming, what about my station? Well, one thing that we have that's a real hindrance is that we don't have a lot of staff, and we don't have a lot of volunteers who have the qualifications to be in management, so that we don't have enough people to network with our crew to make it happen quicker than the 7 days. If there was a way that I could build that a little bit, and it's growing, I mean, I'm going to be getting there. But one thing that we do have as a policy for what we're going to play on the air when those, let's say the 7-day notice was made, is that our volunteers all work for the station, and that the station's broadcast is the primary mission that we support there at the station. No one owns their own shift. There certainly is a lot of continuity because we honor those folks that have done a good job over a long term, the folks that can look like they're generating membership, as well as listenership. We don't base renewal of programs on membership drives, but we do expect that there's going to be notice in the community of their program, and positive notice. So I would say that if we were to give the proper 7-day notification, we could preempt, and we wouldn't get bogged down in the kind of repercussions that I have heard of happen at other stations. When we come in and we're going to realign the block to carry the free speech radio news at 5:30, everyone had to adjust for that, and it was just the way it went. So I guess what I would say is that I'm looking to do more of those national feeds in the future when I can organize that in time, and that I don't think it has to do with our DJs, with our volunteers being able to stop that process. And I would encourage all the stations to have that kind of policy. The radio station is the primary focus, not the individual program.
Mary, were you telling us that we have 5 minutes left?
Well, you have actually less because I didn't want to interrupt Nathan in the middle of his talk. So you have about three, but we can extend it.
I understand.
Okay. I would like to quickly ask the question of the time commitment that you'll have available for Pacifica, and also to comment that the line between work on the governance board and actual outcomes in the way the network conducts itself is not always a straight line. And so I just want to be sure that you're looking forward to being on the governance board and that you have the time to put into it.
Well, I guess I've reached a tenure at my own job where I would be able to arrange my schedule for that. I understand the difficulty of working with the decisions at a board level. It's a lot like running any organization. There's always going to be a lot of devils in the details, and that's what people spend a lot of time working out.
Right.
I would, to me, it's a privilege and an honor to have an opportunity to share whatever I could bring to that process. I don't know what that can be. I don't know what strengths I have that would come to play, but I can tell you that I have been involved with a lot of conflict and dissent from all sides, because as a manager, I can suddenly find myself on the side of the fence that I used to be on the other side of. And so it's given me a good perspective with that. I led the community group when we resisted change at the college station that I worked out through the 80s. The college student board changed they mandated that community members had to leave and that they were going to go to a single format. Well, before that had happened, there was about a year or so of organizing the community volunteers to present our point of view, and I was the spokesperson for that group. So I'd say I have some experience with that, and I would just want to bring whatever I could to that. The time commitment for me is not going to be a problem because, again, I'm kind of can rearrange my own schedule that way.
Great. Is there anything you'd like to ask of us or anything you'd like to say in conclusion in the last couple of minutes?
Well, the questions, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, obviously, for me coming into this. I'm not one that's looked at all of the minutes in the past following all the different directions that the board's taken. I've pretty much put a lot of faith in my representative, the affiliate reps that were elected to the board. I was really pleased to see that there was a place for us at the table. I do feel that the network is stronger by inviting the affiliates in. 100 stations would be better than 5 in terms of distribution. I think everyone wants to see that the works that we do as a network are distributed as widely as possible. I also think we can bring in a lot of different perspectives by involving affiliates. Affiliates represent a really diverse group when you really look at where the stations are. So, you know, questions, I probably would have a lot of questions as we go. I would figure that any seated board member is going to be given a lot of material to catch up on. And what I would hope to bring is to work with Ursula and to, again, as I said earlier, to really find out what the needs are of the affiliates. You know, she's done some of that work in some of the reports and the surveys, which I have read thoroughly. But I still am not sure of how much or how little the affiliates should participate in the system, and I guess that all needs to, you know, my other question, which Ursula and I have talked about before, like, who is an affiliate and what does that mean? You know, is an affiliate just someone who's downloading programs, or is an affiliate someone that participates a little more? And, I guess I'm not asking a question here.
Well, no, that's fine. Ursula, do you want to answer? That'll probably take us to the time limit, but I think we'd all be interested in hearing the answer. So do you want to hold forth on that?
The question is, who's an affiliate?
Well, do you want to ask it again, Mr. Robin?
No, I think I got it. I don't want to.
Okay.
We'll be over.
An affiliate is defined as a non-commercial radio station radio station,
right,
that has a contractual agreement with Pacifica.
Right.
Until now, it has been defined as a non-commercial radio station, which we have extended to include internet radio stations.
Right.
And there are some, there in the last 2 years, many other types of people have come and said they would like to affiliate, and I think part of the work this year would be to make some decisions as to how we would define affiliate. We don't really have a working definition other than what the bylaws articulates in terms of elections.
Sure.
But other than that, we don't have a definition, and I think one thing I would really like to do in cooperation with the board this year is to develop that language around that so that we have some sort of parameters so we all know exactly what that is.
Sure. Well,
right.
I would want to work with Ursula on that and also be a voice for the other affiliates. If I was a representative to the board, that's what my role would be.
Okay, well, that takes us to about time. We really appreciate your being on the call. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Oh.
And as I said, we'll be contacting you probably in 9 or 10 days and let you know the outcome of the election. And, again, thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Rip.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity to speak. Thanks.
Okay,
you.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
so about 8 minutes
now,
overtime, just so you know. So.
Okay. And I'm sorry for any differences in the amount of time people were given.
Wasn't that invigorating?
Excuse me, Teresa?
I said, wasn't that invigorating? These people have such wonderful ideas.
I couldn't agree more. So right now we have 20 minutes to discuss elections, but I don't think we'll need that much time. Mm-hmm. Teresa has sent the ballot out to all the board members, and we agreed by a motion at our prior meeting that we would have a postmark deadline of a week from this meeting. So that would be a postmark deadline of Wednesday the 8th. And it's an STV election, so you mark the ballot. I believe the instructions were on the ballot, but you mark one in order of preference, 1, 2, and 3, and mail those to Teresa. And Teresa, will you get two other board members to observe? And are we doing the process where you have two envelopes, an inner and an outer?
I don't think so for this, are we?
Whatever you guys want. I have already received one ballot.
Okay. If people wish to make their vote blind or anonymous, you can put your ballot inside an envelope and then put that envelope in another envelope and address it to Teresa. Are there any other questions about the election?
I would like to say something. If you on the return address, if you put affiliate election,
mm-hmm,
then I will not open the envelope, and I will take it to the station and meet with two other national board members, and we will open them together and count them. The one I got before, I had no idea what it was until I opened it up and found out what it was. And I, please, you know, if you think I need to send ballots again, well,
Is there anybody who has not received the ballot?
What
I think we're fine,
Teresa?
Then, Teresa.
What did you send it, Teresa?
I can find that out. But I would like to encourage people not to wait until the very last day, because if they wait until the 8th and then I don't get them until the 15th or the, you know,
mm-hmm,
whatever, then are the tickets to send these people to the national board meeting are going to be very expensive.
Point of information.
Who's that?
Ken,
yes.
Is Otis or his representative on the call?
John Sirius is here.
John Sirius, how long do you think it's going to take to archive the this meeting?
John, are you there?
He just was. Oh, no.
He'll
pop up.
Sorry about that. I can't pick it up in the room with the speakers on. It'll probably take half an hour.
Great. So we can expect it by tomorrow. It'll be available for viewing or for listening.
It will be, and I'll have Otis post the links.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Great. Okay, well, if there's no further questions, then...
I have a question, David. This is Ursula.
Yes. Go ahead.
Do you think that it's appropriate for me to post to the affiliates the location of this sound?
Of course. Okay. It's a public meeting. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it would be wonderful for them to hear what some of their fellows have said. And hopefully we can get a lot more involvement. I'm personally deeply regretting that we can't elect all of them.
They're great.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
really great.
Anyhow, I'm really looking forward to having more involvement from all the affiliates this year. So please do post to that list.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Patty.
Is this voting STV or just Circling Two?
No, as I said, it's an STV election, and so you mark the ballot in order of preference, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
I have a question. I presume that if someone should resign, the third person would be the alternate who would then step in. That was the same rule.
Yeah, let's make that clear up front.
Yes. I think that's I believe the bylaws do provide...
Well, they provide
alternate.
For it in some cases, but I don't think they specifically say about the affiliates, but it should be the principle for everything, I would think.
Well, can we make that a motion?
Let's do that. Bob, yes?
That actually is already what the bylaws say. So,
well,
right.
Affiliates?
Covered.
Okay. Great.
So we are covered.
Thank you.
Okay, well, if there's no further discussion needed.
Real quick question here. The ballots may or may not be anonymous as the person sending them in prefers. Is that what I understood you to say, Teresa?
No.
I said that, and the point is that failing to make them anonymous will not invalidate your vote.
That's what I need to know. Okay, thanks.
Well, you know, David, in order to prevent someone from sending in more than one ballot, wouldn't it be better that they actually do the double envelope or somehow put their name on it?
You will get one envelope from each person with a return address on it. Please be sure to include your return address, and that'll prevent duplicate ballots.
I just want to suggest, Mary Berger, when you get the envelopes, you mark them off that you've received them. And then when you open them, I mean, each person should fold them so their votes don't show if they like, but it should be open, envelopes upside down, you slice them all, another person takes the ballots out, and that person doesn't even see the envelope. And if you do this procedure correctly, there's really not a need for a double envelope. We've done this.
And let's not take the time as a full body to discuss this kind of technical detail. If you want, we can correspond by it on email.
Excuse me, Dave.
Yes?
Dave, I do think we ought to make this clear because I've had people, I got the ballot and it didn't have a return address on it. So I think while we have people on the phone, let's make it clear. I'd like to encourage people to send in their ballots now. If they don't have my address, if for some reason they've misplaced a ballot, call me right now on your mobile phone and I'll be happy to give it to you to get it done right.
Right. Okay. Then if there's nothing further, thank you very much, everybody.
Dave, this is Bob. Thanks. Just a slight correction of something I said before.
Oh. Go ahead.
I've now pulled up the bylaws on screen, and it's slightly different. I'll just read one sentence. If a director's seat previously held by an affiliate representative or at-large director becomes vacant for any reason, that seat shall be filled for the remainder of that term by the majority vote of the board from the most recent list of nominees it had received for affiliate representative or at-large directors.
Well, if only
so
one
we would take a majority vote for whoever the third candidate was.
Right.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I did wonder, because I didn't think it said that in the bylaws, that it would automatically.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you,
Bob. Thank you. The meeting's adjourned, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.